Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Ksubos Nun Tes. We are holding 9 lines from the top of the Amud, Mesavi. At the end of yesterday's discussion, we mentioned two opinions, two shitas. You see, a husband provides a wife with mezonos, her daily sustenance, as well as mo'o kesef, that extra pocket change for extra expenses. In exchange, the isha provides her husband with ma'ase yodayim, her earnings, and then we have moisar ma'ase yodayim, additional supplemental earnings beyond the standard amount which was established by the Chachamim, which will be discussed later on in the Masechta. Now, it's tit for tat, right? He gives and she gives. The question is, how do we match these up? One shita held, the fact that he gives her mezonos entitles him to her ma'ase yodayim. Reason being, mezonos is something predictable and common, it's shchiach. Likewise, earnings are something which is shchiach, so it's a good matchup. Whereas the extra mo'o kesef, that isn't necessarily something that she really needs on a daily basis, not shchiach, and that matches up with the moisar ma'ase yodayim, the additional supplemental income that she will provide for him. The other shita maintained, we rearrange it a bit differently. The mezonos that he provides matches up with the moisar ma'ase yodayim. Reason being, that these two things are unpredictable in terms of their amounts. It's something which is not kayitz. It doesn't have a set defined amount to it. Whereas the ma'o kesef, that's a set defined term, a ma'o kesef, and that corresponds to the ma'ase yodayim, which as well are set and predictable. Now we're going to have a kasha on either shita. Says the Gemara on the ninth line, Meisve, here comes the kasha. Tiknu mezonos tachas ma'ase yodayim. The Chachamim provided her with mezonos from him in exchange for the ma'ase yodayim that he gets from her. So mezonos matches up with ma'ase yodayim. That's a raya to this shita and a kasha on the other shita, who hold that it's matched up differently. Ema, let's revise. Tachas moisar ma'ase yodayim. The mezonos that she gets is in exchange for the extra income, and this is in line with the other shita. Tashma, here comes another kasha. If he does not provide her with that extra pocket change, what does he lose? Ma'asya de'ashelo. Going forward, she keeps her basic earnings. Apparently, that's the matchup. Ma'asya daim is his in exchange for the extra pocket change. That's a kasha on the other shita, who hold that mezonos corresponds to ma'asya daim. Answer, Ema, let's revise the price. Moiser ma'asya de'ashelo. If he fails to provide her with her allowance, he doesn't get the extra income, because the ma'o kesef corresponds to the moisar ma'ase yodayim. But the actual basic ma'ase yodayim, that's unrelated to the ma'o kesef. That base amount is connected to mezonos, as we explained before. How can you say that? We're speaking about the extra supplemental income. V'ha'ala ketani. But the brisa explains itself. Mahi oisaloi. What exactly does a wife do for her husband? How much does she have to earn? It was a set amount. Mishgal chomesh sloim, weight of 5 sloim of what? Of shesi. The vertical threads, Rashi says, they're more difficult to spin. So she would have to produce 5 selah worth of shesi thread. It weighs that much. Be Yehuda. In Yehuda, it was 5 saloim. The fact that the Brisa is discussing the basic earnings of the Isha, the standard ma'ase yodayim, apparently, that's what we're speaking about. So when the Brisa begins, well, if he fails to give her the ma'o kesef, he no longer is entitled to her ma'ase yodayim. She keeps her ma'ase yodayim, which you explained to mean, well, the extra above the set standard requirement for Masi Yadayim. How can you say that? When the Braisa itself alludes to the basic amount of Masi Yadayim. Not the supplemental income, the basic income. Answers the Gemara, Hachi Gamar. No, the Braisa means like this. If he doesn't give her the Mo'a Kesef, he loses rights to the supplemental income. But how do we know what's called supplemental? What's extra? Extra means on top of the basic requirement. What is basic requirement? We have to know that. Hachi Gamar. Masi Yadayim Kamahavi. What is considered standard Masi Yadayim? The Leida Moisar Didah Kama, which will allow us to figure out what's considered extra and beyond the standard. So what is the answer? Mishkal Chomesh Slaim Shesiv Yehuda. Right? She must produce these threads. 5 Sela of weight in Yehuda. Shehein Eser Slaim Begolol. You see, the Sela in Yehuda weigh twice as much as the Sela in Golol. So 5 in Yehuda equals 10 in Golol. Omar Shmuel. Let's go back to our Mishnah. A fellow got up and declared, I am being Magdish. I am committing to the Beis HaMikdash. What am I committing? The extra supplemental income that my wife produces. Rabbi Meir says, it catches. It becomes Hegdish. Which according to Rav and Shmuel, meant after her passing. After she passes away, he has a right to be Magdish that extra income, because during her lifetime, we explained yesterday, he has no right, for whatever reason. After her passing, now he is going to inherit what she earned, if it's still around. That becomes Hegdish. Rabbi Yechanan HaSandor says, no, Chulin, it doesn't catch. Why? It's not here. It's not something which is tangible. It's something which has yet to come into existence. It's called a Dovar Shelay Bala Olam. It has yet to come into existence. In which case, you can't really apply any status to that before it even exists. Amar Shmuel, Halacha, what's the conclusion? Kirabi Yechanan HaSandor. It's a davar shaloi bala oilam, it doesn't become hegdish. Umi Omar Shmuel, is that true? That according to Shmuel, you cannot apply a hegdish to something which does not yet exist. Vatnan, listen to this Mishnah. Emeseches Nedarim. Koinam is a lashon of, it should become asur like a carbon. It's a form of neder. So she gets up and says, now it's her turn. Koinam sha'ani oisa, whatever I produce, will be asur leficha to your mouth, meaning you can't benefit from any of my work. Because any sort of benefit you have basically saves him money, which can be used to buy food. So basically, you can't enjoy any of my earnings, any of my products. Einoi tzorach lehafer. Husband has no worries. He doesn't even have to do a forest nadarim and nullify her nether. Why? Because she's mishubet. She's committed to earn for him. It's not hers to make it usher. That is the shita of Tanakama. Rabbi Akiva Omer, yeah, there is a concern. Yafir, he should nullify that nether. Although her basic earnings belong to him, and it's not within her ability to make it usher on him. It's sort of his, not hers. But Shema Tadif Olav. She might do extra, yasser, minaroi loy, more than is coming to him, and that extra. That supplemental income is not really rightfully his, and she has full right to make it usur on him, so step in and nullify the nether. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri Omer, I'll tell you a different reason why he should be concerned. Yafir, you know why he should do hafara? Not necessarily because of now, but because of the future. Although currently she cannot make it usur on him because she's still his wife, but what happens, Shema Yigarashena, down the road he might divorce her. And at that point, her nether will kick in because she's no longer under his jurisdiction. So at that point, the nether she makes triggers and gets activated on her Masi Yadayim, and then he can no longer retake her as a wife, Utehe Asura Lachsar, and he can no longer remarry her. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri is concerned about the future. Currently, the Isser is not Chal, it doesn't really take effect, but down the road it might. Apparently, Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri holds, you can make an Isser Koinam, an Isser Neder, on something which doesn't yet exist. And who paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri? Who? None other than Shmuel himself. V'omar Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. Apparently you can do an Isra on something which doesn't yet exist. And this is totally in contrast with what Shmuel told us a minute ago, that when he's making hegdish on his wife's earnings, it doesn't work because it's down the road. Answer, ki amar Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. When Shmuel says we take on that opinion, it's only lahadafa, for the extra income, not for the basic income. So the actual income, the ikar ma'asi adayim, you don't have to worry about. Because currently, she can't do anything because it belongs to him. Down the road, when she gets divorced, that's davar shaloi b'l'oilam, something down the road in the future, don't worry about it. The isra can't be applied to something which doesn't yet exist. Rather, the concern is about the extra income that she's making now, which doesn't really belong to him. That's why we have to make hafara. Now, Rashi points out that the Gemara could have right now taken a short stop and says, 1 second, even the extra income doesn't yet exist. She hadn't yet produced it. That's called Dovah Shloi Bala Oilam. Why would that become usur by way of her nether today? The Gemara could have asked that kasha, but waited off on that because we had a different kasha. What is the other kasha? Shmuel is only concerned about the extra income. So why did Shmuel say the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri? He should have said it differently. V'leima, halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri l'ha'adafa. He should have specified the concern is only the extra income. Inami, or he could have said ein halacha k'tanakama. We don't follow the shitas Tanakama, says no concern whatsoever. Don't worry about it. There is a concern, a slight concern, although not regarding the basic income, which she can't really make usur on him, but the extra is a concern. Inami, or he should have said halacha k'Rabbi Akiva, straightforward. Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. He's the one that says that he has to do hafara because the extra income, which isn't really coming to him, that she can make usur. Why did Shmuel choose to say halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, which is sort of misleading? So back to the kasha. We attempted a teret, it didn't work. So what is the kasha once again? On the one hand, Shmuel tells us in our Mishnah, you cannot be magdish, something which doesn't yet exist. On the other hand, when the Isha attempts to make something usur in terms of kainam, like a nether, like Isser Karban, Shmuel seems to hold that she can do it for something which doesn't yet exist. Something which will only exist, which will only come into being after divorce. What's the difference? Ella Amar Rav Yosef, I'll tell you the difference. Big difference. Koinamas Koamras. You're speaking about Koinamas. Oh, that's an entirely different topic. Shani Koinamas. The Isra Koinamas is totally different than Hegdish. Hegdish, you can only donate your own item. But when it comes to Isra Neder, it doesn't have to be yours. B'toich she'adam oisir. Just as a person could make usur. Peiro is chaveiro, olav. He points to his friend's fruit. Doesn't belong to me, belongs to him. And I make a koinam, a nether. I will not partake in that fruit, that's okay. It works, it makes it usur on me. I don't have to own the item on which I'm applying a personal isur. So since koinam has that allowance, apparently it's working on a different track than hegdish, which only pertains to a personal item. This doesn't have to be personally owned. And therefore, adam magdish davar shalei bala olam, or there's a girsa adam oiser davar shalei bala olam likewise. I could do the same with something which doesn't yet exist. And the Ran explains, what's the connection? Just as I can make your item, which isn't really mine, isn't in mine, in my realm. It's like davar shaloi bal olam. It doesn't exist in my realm. It's totally beyond my reach. It's your item, not mine. I can apply isra to that item pertaining to myself. So you see, you don't have to have access to it. Likewise, I can make an isra koinam on something which doesn't yet exist. I'm committing not to partake in it when and if it comes into being. That answers our kasha. Hegdash you can't do. That's only down the road. But koinam you can. Amalei Abaye. Abaye asked on this. You're taking it for a stretch. Bishleima Adam Oyser Peres Chaveri Olav. I understand that by koinam it works on a different track. It has its own guidelines. I can take my friend's peres and make it usher on me, despite the fact that I don't really have access to those peres. They're not really mine. Shekein Adam Oyser Peres Aval Chaveri. Just as I can take my fruit and make it usher on you, even though I'm trying to affect you, what right do I have to do that? I can do that. That's how koinam works. So likewise, I can take your peres and make it usher on me. Because in both situations, there's one chisorin, let's call it, one deficiency. My peres making it usher on you is trying to affect somebody else. It still works. Likewise, I can take your fruit, make it usher on me, even though it's your item. So in either case, we have some sort of deficiency. It's not fully mine and fully in my possession, fully pertaining to me as a person. It works. That's how koinam works. But in our case, you have two deficiencies. You can compare. Yasser davar shaloi b'la'olam al chaveri. Lisha says, look, what I will earn, what I will have after divorce, will become asr on you. So A, it doesn't yet exist. B, she's trying to make it asr on somebody else. This is a double deficiency. That's how Tosis explains this Gemara. It's a double chisorin. A, it doesn't yet exist. And B, I'm trying to affect somebody else. Where do you have a precedent for such a thing? Can I take something which A, doesn't yet exist, it's loy b'loylam, and I'm trying to affect somebody else? Her husband, right? Shekein. Ein Adam oise peres chavera chaveri. Just like, I can't take your fruit and make it usher on you. That certainly doesn't work. Because there are two chesroin, there are two deficiencies there. Likewise, in our case, there's a double problem. It doesn't yet exist, and it's on somebody else. So how could you explain the concern? Why would there be a problem with this nether? So Abaye sort of negated Rav Yosef's pshat. Here comes a third attempt. Hello, Amar Rav Huna, Breda Rav Yeshua. Again, he's trying to answer the kasha we had. Here Shmuel says, you cannot make something which is davar shaloi bala olam into a hegdish. And here we say that by the neder, she can make her maasi adayim asr, even though they don't yet exist. We're speaking about down the line, after gerushin. Ella amar, Rav Huna b'der Yeshua. I'll tell you what we're speaking about. B'imeres. We're talking that she said like this, yikatsha yadai lo yisayim. Instead of speaking directly about her earnings, my earnings become asr, my hands become committed to Hashem. It's a lashon of Isser here. My hands should become kadosh le'oseyem to its maker, Hashem. The yadayim isnu ba'olam. Her hands are here. They exist. So she's speaking about the producer of the earnings, the hands. They are here. They are tangible. And therefore, she can commit to that. She can make that asr on him. Asks the Gemara, L'chika amra hachi mi mekacha? How does that help us? My hands. Why does that make it asr? Hamashabdele. At this point, she's committed to work for him. She can't just extract her hands from her shibud. They're committed to work for him, to earn for him. Oh, the Amra, because she says, L'chi megarsha. My hands should be kadosh to Hashem. And whatever they produce and earn should be usher to you. When? After I'm divorced. Asks the Gemara, fine, but she's not yet divorced. Again, we're running into the same problem. It's davar shaloi bala olam. It's something which has yet to come into existence. How can there be such a case? The ilu hash to loy kaddish. How can you propose a situation where if she would decide to make it usher now, the ilu hash to loy kaddish, it doesn't really take effect because she's meshuba to him. Ulu kamei kaddish. And down the line it becomes kaddish. After she divorces, it becomes kaddish. That situation is not yet, has not yet come into being. It's davar shelabal olam. The hands are here, but not the new circumstance of divorce. Amar Rabbi Loi, alam aloi, what's wrong with that? Ilu ha'imer l'chaveri. Suppose Reuben tells Shimon, sodezu, take a look at this field. This field over here, shani moich halach, that I'm selling to you today, you know, when I repurchase it, when I rebuy it from you tomorrow, to be kaddish, I want it to be kaddish. Milay kacha, does that commitment not take effect? Of course it does. The Gemara is assuming it works, even though we're speaking about something in the future. Here as well, by the isha, it should work. Maskeflor Rav Yirmiyah, he says, I have a kasha. How could you compare me dummy? It's not a comparison. Sure, in the case of the field, right now I have it. I can be magdishit. It's in my ability to be magdishit. And that allows me to stipulate and to condition and to make a hegdish down the road as well, because I can do the same thing now. I own it for hegdish right now. So I can make sort of a delayed hegdish as well. But here by the Isha, in her current state, she has no ability to change things. She can't be Megarish herself. She can't divorce herself. So what right does she have to make herself Hegdish for the future? Holodamya, if anything, we'll compare it to the next case where it doesn't work because it's not in his ability to affect that change. For instance, Reuben tells Shimon, take a look at this field that I've already sold to you. It's yours. I want you to know, when indeed I repurchase it from you, it should become Kaddish. Guess what happens? Nothing. The Lay Kacha doesn't become Kaddish because right now it's out of my hands. Here as well by the Isha. She's not in her own Rishus. Maskatha Rav Papa, Astra Papa, me dummy, why are you comparing it to that case? I understand why over there it won't work, but over here it would work. Huh, some Gufo Paris, the actual principle, the actual field, and the Paris, the produce, are all sitting in the hands of whom? The buyer. It's out of my possession. Of course I can't manipulate that property. But by the Isha, it's so different. Gufa biyado. Her guf is in her hands. True. She's committed to him. She's obligated to produce Masi Adayim Paris. But the guf, that's hers. He doesn't own her. And since she's committing her hands, which is part of her body, to Hashem, she has the ability to do that. Certainly that it should affect her down the road after divorce. If anything, Halay Dami will compare it, Ella, to the next case, where it does work, because he is still holding on to the guf. Reuben tells Shimon, take a look at this field that I've given to you as a mashkin. Right? I owed you money. I used the field as a collateral. It still belongs to me. But it's meshuba to you. It's committed to you. It's serving as a security for the loan that I owe you. I want you to know, when I redeem that field from you, to Kaddish, when I pay back the loan, I take back the field, I want it to become Hegdish. Guess what happens? It works. The Kacha, it works. Because although the field is meshuba to you, it's committed to you, there's a lien on it, but the actual field still belongs to me. I'm still the legal owner. And I can make it Hegdish. So that the Hegdish that I do today will be activated later on when I do retake that field. The Isha as well can do the same because the goof is hers. Maskeflor Rav Shisha Beidar Rav Idi. How do you compare it to that case? There's no connection. Me dummy. What kind of connection is that? Hasam Beyodah Leftoisa. Sure, by the Mashkin, it's Beyodah. It's within his ability Leftoisa to redeem that field and take it back. Since he has potential to retake it, we treat him as the owner. And the Hegdish can work. But Hacha, by the Isha over here, Ein Biyada Lagarish Atzmo, it's not within her ability to terminate her marriage. So she's lacking that ability to actually change her status and implement the Hekdesh. She would not have the power to initiate a Hekdesh at all. If anything, I'll compare it to something else. This case will be more comparable to the Isha, and you'll see the answer is it doesn't work. Hello, Domya. Hello. This is the answer of the Gemara. I'll answer you like this. Hello, Domya. The case of the Isha is different to is compared to another case. Hello, Emel Chaver. For instance, Reuben tells Shimon, Sadazu this field, Shemeshkanti Lacha LaEsr Shana, which I turned into a mashkin for 10 years. So they made a deal. You know, within 10 years, I redeem it; it goes back to me. Otherwise, it stays by you. The deal is you keep it for 10 years, after which I can take it back from you. So, for the next 10 years, it's committed to him, you can't take it back. Totally out of the owner's control. But still, it can work. He says, this field that I gave you, l'eser shanam, l'kishep adenem imcha, when indeed I do decide to redeem it, and take it back after 10 years, tikadish, I want to make it hegdish. The kacha, it works. And that's a good matchup with the Isha, because here, as well, I can't really take it back within this prescribed period. Right? It's totally out of my control right now. I committed to 10 years. That's like the Isha, committed to her husband. So although currently I can't really access the field, but the fact is down the road, once I take it back, will be mine again, and therefore I can verbalize, I can make a hegdish already now, which will be activated down the road. Likewise the Isha, although currently speaking she's connected to the husband, but she can make an Isser which will be activated down the road. So Rav Ashi had a kasha again, how could you compare me dummy, what's the connection? Hasam la'eser shanim, in that case at least after 10 years are up, Mia still be Adalif Taisa, at least after 10 years I can retake it. So I'm still holding on to the ownership. As opposed to the Isha, she can never make a Gerishin, ever and ever. It's not with her and her ability to affect that change. So how can she make an Isser that will take effect after Gerishin, which is not a situation which she can bring about? Hello, Rav Ashi, here comes the fourth and final teres to the kasha. Why is it that by hegdish, Shmuel tells us you can't do a hegdish for something which is not yet in existence. And when it comes to the iser kainam, iser of neder, you can. Elam arvashi. Kainamas ka'amras. Skip the idea about the hands. She's just making a plain, simple, standard iser kainam. Whatever I earn is asa to you, my dear husband, like a carbon. So even though the earnings are not yet here, we're speaking about earnings which will happen after divorce, it works. Kainamas ka'amris. You're speaking about kainamas? Oh, shani kainamas. A kainam is an entirely new creature. It's so different than hegdish. The kedushas ha'gufnin. You see, there are two types of hegdish, two types of isra. Typically, when one is magdish, one of his possessions, a car, it becomes kaddish to the extent that you sell it and use it for the Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaMikdash's expenses. It's called kedushas damim, a monetary type of kedusha, a value kedusha. You can't use the car on the mizbeach, right? You can't. Right, so that's called kedushas damim. That's a lower level kedusha, in contrast to an animal that you are magdish as a carbon. That's kedushas haguf. The very essence of that object becomes kaddish. It has a purpose on its own. It's not just a means to an end to provide the Beis HaMikdash with funds. The item itself is essentially Kaddish. Likewise, a koinam, by the very mere fact that you can't redeem a koinam, Rashi says it's usher, that doesn't have pidyon, you can't just redeem it, exchange it for money. When something becomes usher, but in other words, usher per se, the item, by its very essence, embodies isser. Kedushas ha-guf, the actual item is usher. That's a very powerful status. The kedushas ha-guf ninu. And therefore, that overrides everything. That supersedes even the shibud that a husband has on his wife's earnings. Uke de Rava, as Rava tells us elsewhere. Dama Rava. Rava came and highlighted the power of Kedushas HaGuf. In three cases, we find that Kedushas HaGuf overpowers and overrides other considerations. Hegdish. Let's say a loiva, a borrower, had committed an animal as collateral, as a poitaki to the creditor. And the loiva now gets up and makes it a korban. That overrides. Why? Because that's kedushas haguf. That touches the core essence of this animal. And that overrides and supersedes any claim that a mava would have on that animal. Likewise, chametz. He committed this package of Cheerios to the guy as a collateral for the loan that the guy gave him. The fact that Pesach comes along, the Isser chametz, which touches the very core essence of this Cheerios, stands higher and deeper than just a plain shibud and commitment and a claim that the guy, the malva, would have on this item, in which case the Yisrael can no longer use that item to back up his loan. Because the Yisrael cannot have ana. It's usher, it's chametz. So that cancels, nullifies the schus of the guy, the shibud of the guy. The isr chametz stands higher than the shibud of the guy. Number three, v'shichrur. This is similar to the hegdish, the animal which became kaddish. So you have an eved, a slave, which was turned into a poitiki. That's another a form of collateral. He took the eved and he used it as a security for a loan that he owes. And then he goes and he frees the eved. He goes free. Because the fact is, freeing an eved just undoes any claim that the creditor may have on that eved. So all these three things are mafkin with a shibud. They nullify, they cancel any claim upon these items. Likewise now, okay, it's an isha who makes her masi yodayim koinam. Isser like hegdesh kdushas haguf. The isser touches the core essence of the item and overrides any claim that a husband may have on it, and therefore becomes usser on him. 1 second, says the Gemara, if that's the case, why wait until after she's divorced? The item should become kaddish right now. Why does, Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri say we're afraid that after divorce the Issa will kick in, although now it can't kick in, but later on it will kick in, and he can no longer remarry the Isha because he won't be able to live with her if everything she's doing is usher to him. Why wait till divorce? Issa kainam overrides any shibud. It's usher right now. Answer, Almua Rabbanon. Rabbanon strengthened, reinforced. Lishi Buddha de Baal. They strengthen the claim that a husband has on his wife's earnings, which prevents it from becoming usher now. Chacham had the power to do that. Maybe it's hefker bez and hefker. In any case, they gave him a strong power. And he's considered the first claimant. He has the lien. He has an absolute hold on her earnings, and she can't do anything currently. What she could do is make an isser now, which gets activated once she leaves his jurisdiction, i.e. divorce. Okay, so we finally got to the teretz on the kasha. And now Mishnah, we say, a husband who decides to be magdish, his wife's earnings, according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandor, doesn't work. And Shmuel paskins like that shita, we're speaking about after death, down the road, davar shelo b'leolam, it doesn't yet exist. You can't affect something which is not yet in existence. Whereas over here we say the Isha. It's the Isha now making the Isser. Whatever I earn is usher to you. Shmuel tells us it's a problem because, although right now she can't do that, but what happens when and if she gets divorced, then the Isser gets activated, gets applied, and now he can't remarry her anymore. Why is that different than Hegdish? Because it's Kainam. It's an Isser HaGuf that overrides and supersedes his Shibut. So we speak about what a husband provides for his wife. They share the ksus, the oina, the mezainis, the ma'akas, avatzarcha, etc. What about the wife's share? In the going-ons in the home. Ve'elu malachis, sha'isha oisa labala, following the malachis, are those that an isha is meant to do for her husband. She grinds the grain, va'ifa bakes, machabesa, she launders, mashala, she cooks, manikas bana, she nurses her child. Matzah like samita, she prepares the bed, va'isa betzemer. This was discussed before. She'll go and she'll produce the wool material, the threads, which brings income to the household. Now, yichnisa lo shivcha achas. Suppose she was lucky enough to have her own maidservant, which she brought into the marriage. So she gets a break. Loi teichenes, loi oifa, loi chabeses. She no longer has to grind, bake, or launder, because the shivcha looks after that. Let's say shtaim, she brings two shivchas, she gets a further break. Ein vashelas, vein menikas b'na, no cooking, no nursing. Shalosh, three maidservants. Ein matzas lois amita, no preparing the bed. Vein lois a bit samar, nor the thread work. Arba, if she has four slaves, Yisheves b'katedra. At that point, she doesn't even have to go on errands. She can sit in her fancy recliner over there, and she's on vacation. Reb Elazar Omer, he disagrees. Afilu hichnisa lo me'a shifchas. You know, even if she has 100 servants, koifa, he will force her to be busy, to keep busy. Lasis b'tzemer, to do the thread work. Shabbatala, because sitting idle is no good for anybody. Mavil deizima, brings to inappropriateness. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, likewise, af ha-madar is ishtay, melasas melacha. Let's say he makes a nether, you can't do melacha. That's unsustainable. She'll be bored. Yoytze v'itin ksuba, he has to separate and give her the ksuba. Shema batola, because sitting idle with nothing to do, a person lacking fulfillment, that's terrible. Mevil de shiamon, brings to unstableness, instability, mental instability, in which case, she's in for trouble. He has no right to do that. So the Mishnah tells us an Isha is Teichenes. Teichenes Akadaitach. She actually does the actual grinding. The water does it by turning the windmill. So by turning the water mill or the wind with a windmill, it's not her actually grinding. Ella Ema rather revised it like this. Mat Chenes. She arranges for the grinding. She pours in the grain, etc., etc. Hibayis Ema. Another pshat is Berachaya. The other was speaking about a place where they used hand grinders, in which case she's actually doing the grinding with her own effort. Now, the Mishnah, which tells us that an Isha is meant to participate in the household chores, Maslisen de Loik Rav Chiya, is not consistent with Rav Chiya, who gives the Isha on vacation. A ton of Rav Chiya, Ein Isha lo Yaifi, the purpose of an Isha is to present herself with Yaifi and make herself attractive for her husband. This way, he's spared from any diversion out in the street. Ein isha el labanim, an isha is meant to produce children, and therefore, she's not meant to be overburdened. Tosis points out, according to Reb Chiya, we deduct the grinding and the cooking, all that, but he says the oisa betzemer, bringing income by doing that thread work, even Reb Chiya would agree. Of course, masya daim, that's a central part of the household arrangement. He feeds her and she brings in some income. But the other household chores, that's not meant for the Isha. B'tani Rav Chiya, ein Isha ala tachshita Isha. An Isha is meant to be adorned with adornments. B'tani Rav Chiya, reitza she adnes Ishta, if one wants his wife to present pleasantly. Yalbishena klei pishtan. He should dress her with linen begodim. Haroi tashi alben es bita. If he'd like his daughter to have a bright countenance. Yachilena efreichim. He should feed her, you know, birds. Yashkena chel of young birds with oil, with milk. Mitzamach lepirka. In close proximity to her turning an adult. Okay, that's the shita of Rav Chiya, but Amishnah disagrees and gives her a whole long list of chores which she's meant to perform. Umanikas pna, amongst those chores we find feeding her, nursing her baby. That's a chiyav that Anisha has towards her husband. Lema mas nisn loikir b'shama. It appeared that Amishnah is not following b'shama. He holds that Anisha is not obligated to do that. The sanya, nodrosh loy lahanikas pna. She made a nether, no nursing. B'shama amen. She has to fulfill that vow. Shoymetas dad mi piv. She removes the dad, the breast from the nipple from his mouth. She's not allowed to feed that baby because her nether sticks. Apparently, she doesn't have an obligation. Otherwise, the nether would not be chal. Beisil oimer, no, she's obligated, and that obligation supersedes her vow. Koifa, the husband compels her. Umanikas, and she nurses the baby. This gasha, let's say she's divorced, he no longer has that a claim on her. Enoi koifa, he can't force her. It's his obligation. But v'mahoya makirov, we know that the child is familiar with his mother and would not nurse from anybody else. So what's the option? Noisin la scharos, the husband who divorced her has to pay her for her services. V'koifa manikasoi, and forces her to nurse the baby pnei sakana, out of concern for the child's welfare. So how Mishnah, which maintains that an isha is meant to nurse, is not Beis Shammai, who does not consider that one of her obligations. Afilu tami Beis Shammai, says the Gemara, no. Perhaps even Beis Shammai would concur with our Mishnah. Nursing a baby is one of the basic obligations of a mother. So why then in the Brice, when she made her nether, does Beis Shammai say no feeding the baby? Hachab Mayaskin was speaking, she made the nether, not the nurse, and the husband confirmed the nether. He said, yes, I accept the nether. Instead of annulling, instead of doing hafaras nederim, he actually concurred with it. The question is, who's at fault? Because Savri Beishami, Beishami hold, who noisin? Although she initiated the nether, but he had the ability to cancel the nether, and he refused to do so, so it's his problem. So you can't force her to nurse the baby. It's like he made the nether. But Bissol Sabri, Bissol disagree. They say she, nosna esra b'shinea, it's as though she placed her finger between her teeth and bit it. Meaning, it's her fault. After all, she made the nether. He confirmed it, but she started the trouble. She has no right to make a nether, to absolve herself of a chi, of a basic obligation, such as nursing. B'shami hold, no. Who knows in esra b'shinea? He placed his finger between her teeth because he confirmed the nether. It's his fault and she's absolved. So that's a unique case that the Brice is discussing. But typically, of course, an Isha is obligated to nurse her baby, such as our mission. Really? So if the Brice is speaking about the case where she made a nether, and he was Mekayim, the question is, you know, who's to be faulted? So why focus on nursing? Present it as a general question. She made an nether, I'm not going to have enough from you, and he confirmed it. And now he has to divorce, because it's unsustainable, it can't look like that. Question, is she entitled to the ksuba payout or not? Well, that would be a machlekes. Who's at fault? Who does the nether identify with? And Beis Shammai will say, he's at fault, he confirmed the nether. Send her out and pay the ksuba. Beis Hillel will say, no, she's at fault, she leaves with no ksuba, because she made the nether. Why don't they just present their machlekes pertaining to the ksuba payout? Skip the kid and the nursing. So that would be an indication that we're not speaking about a general question of he made the nether, she made the nether. Rather, a more basic question of whether an isha is chayav to nurse a baby. In this case, where she made the nether not to, does she have the right to do that? V'oitanya, in fact, will support it with another brisa, where we see clearly. That's a basic fundamental machlekes regarding nursing. B'shamu oimrim, eino manika. Basic shayla. Bishamai say there's no chi for her to nurse the baby. He can't force it to do that. Bishamai say she is chayev. Ela machavart. Apparently the correct approach is mas nisan that al mishnah, which says that an isha is chayev to nurse, to like Bishamai, is not consistent with Bishamai, who did not consider that a basic obligation for an isha to her husband. Okay, let's recap today's daf. We had Astira and Shmuel. Here he says that you cannot be magdish something down the line. When it comes to the neder, the kainam, you can. We had one attempt, another, and finally we said, kainam, that's isur haguf. Pertains to the very essence of that item, and that overrides any shibur of a husband, and therefore it works. In contrast to hegdish, which only works on something which is in existence today. But if she makes a kainam, that overrides his shibud, and therefore should really work today. But as the Gemara tells us, the Chachamim delayed the effect. They gave him first rights. The husband has a koyach to sort of delay the effect of that neder until divorce. Then we concluded with the Mishnah, the Gemara, a long list of chores and obligations. This time it's from the Isha to the husband. We discussed the importance of feeling fulfilled and accomplished. We had a discussion regarding the chiyuv of Manika Spina, which according to our Mishnah is one of the chiyuvim on the checklist. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabba, always.